Well, if you've got a Bible, please have it open at John chapter 1. Well, Christmas has arrived, hasn't it? When did you start buying your Christmas presents? How many months ago? When did the shop start? I always pick on Paul for this. October, the shop started in October. There we are. So you got that for next year. You can pre-order your Christmas orders from October in some supermarkets. Yeah, so we start for Christmas really early, don't we? And then there's a mad rush, and then we get here, and it suddenly arrives. Has anyone been caught by surprise this Christmas? No, everyone's organized. That's what we like to hear. Everyone's organized. So, you're fully ready. Is the dinner in the oven? Yes. Very good. Have you decided what TV programs you're watching? No arguing over the remote when the Queen's speech is on. Hands up if you've got any presents left to open. There we go, yes. About half, I think. So that's very good, aren't they? Now, presents are great fun. Now, the sort of present that we give to people often reveals what we think about that person. So at one end of the scale, there's that secret Santa present that you've got to give to someone who you don't really know and probably don't get on that well with, and it's got to cost less than £5. So there's that sort of present at one end of the scale. And then at the other end of the scale, there's the presents that you buy for those people who are closest to us. And I rather suspect that you buy them more than a secret Santa gift, don't you? You spend a lot more on the person that you love and know than upon the person that you hardly know at all. And that just shows us that the sort of present that we buy for people is somehow related to the sort of relationship that we have with that person. Now, at Christmas time, we love giving each other presents, we love the meals, we love the TV, we love the parties. But we all know that the real reason for Christmas is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God's gift to us. And as we think of Jesus as a present, as a gift to us, let's just reflect for a moment upon the cost to the person who is doing the giving. Because whenever a present is given, there's some sort of cost. So this morning I would like to reflect for a few moments upon the cost of Christmas for God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus was sent from heaven to earth, he came down to do at least four different things. First of all, to save us from our sins. Secondly, to sympathize with us. Thirdly, to set us an example. And fourthly, to show us God. And we get little hints of these four things from our verse of the day, which is John 1, verse 14, which reads, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So let's just think about those four different things. First of all, Jesus came to save us from our sins. And this is probably what we think most about when we think about Jesus' birth. This is the reason that the Word became flesh. And it's what John is talking about in this introduction to his gospel. It's providing us with a theological explanation for Christmas. We've learnt about how the Word, how he was with God in the beginning, how he became flesh. And this is clearly talking about the birth of Jesus. But why was he born as flesh? Why was he born as a human? Why didn't he just come in all of his glory and click his fingers and sort out all of our problems? Well, if we know our Christian theology, we know that he's come to be our substitute. And a substitute is a like-for-like replacement. So if you think in the workplace, if you're working in a factory and there's someone with a particular job to do on the production line, and that person decides to go elsewhere for a job, you've got to replace that person with someone who's going to do exactly the same thing. It has to be a like-for-like replacement. Jesus has come to be our substitute because before God, we haven't measured up to his standards, while Jesus does measure up to his standards. So Jesus has just got to be, he's got to be just like us in order to be our substitute. And when he comes in as our substitute, he's not just coming to do the job that we should have done. He's stepping in to pay the price that we've got to pay for falling short of God's standards. And this is a wonderful side of God's love, because God could have insisted that we paid the price for the things that we'd done wrong. But in his love and in his grace and in his mercy, he allows someone else to step in as a substitute. Now that substitute has got to be absolutely perfect, because if they did anything wrong themselves, they'd be guilty before God. So Jesus is sent down as the perfect substitute to stand in our place and to pay a punishment which we do not, he did not deserve, the punishment that we deserve. We're the ones who have made the mistakes. Jesus is the one who stands in our place as our substitute and takes the punishment. And of course, this carries an incredible cost. It means that the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, had to live a perfect life and then be treated as the worst possible kind of criminal. Jesus had to suffer so that we, all of us here, could be set free. And that's a profound thought, isn't it? Because we think of the baby in the manger and it's all very cute and sentimental. But then we remember that Jesus has come in with a mission. And that mission is to make it possible for us to be forgiven. It's not something that we deserve at all, but it's something that God offers to us because he is a God of love. So Jesus is paying an incredible cost as he comes to us as that Christmas present. And also, have you ever considered how God the Father had to really punish his Son for crimes he knew his Son was innocent of? That must have been really hard for God the Father. I know with our own children, the temptation is always there to let them get away with all sorts of things. But if you do that, no good comes of it at all. But to discipline a child that you know has done nothing wrong is unthinkable. And yet that's what God the Father is going to do to his Son when he dies that first Easter. He is punished for things that he has not done. So there's an incredible cost there that God the Father is willing to pay. He's paying that when he's sending Jesus into the world as a human. And he was willing to do it because he knows that the people who would trust in Jesus are worth it. That's all of us who have put our trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. God's present to us is his own Son, the most precious gift that anyone could ever give. What does it say about God's love for us? About Christ's love for us, when we consider the cost of Christmas for God the Father and God the Son. Today you may be someone who has not yet turned to Jesus and discovered how much he thinks about you, how much he loves you. You may be someone who is feeling lost and alone, dirty and frightened. If you feel like that, then Jesus can clean you up and give you the help that you need. This is the reason that Jesus came down to earth. He is an expert at saving people and sorting them out. So if you really want help, if you really want to change, then turn to him and ask for help. Now, none of us have got Jesus' number in our mobile phone, but we can get in touch with him very easily. So if you would like some guidance about that, in that area, then please come and chat to me a little bit later. The second reason that we see Jesus coming down to earth is to sympathize with us, and the third is to set us an example. And let's just think about those for a moment. How many people here have ever experienced going on a really basic camping holiday? Yeah, a few people have. A few people wouldn't think of it. Now, before you go on that sort of trip, you're really excited beforehand, aren't you? You buy all sorts of little bits of kit and things like that, and you work out how you're going to set the camp up, and you're really excited. And then you get there, and it's all right for a day or so, but then it starts to rain, and reality bites, doesn't it? And you end up wishing, oh, I wish I was at home. And you've got another 2 weeks left to go. And your holiday turns into quite an ordeal. Just think what it was like for Jesus to come down from heaven. In heaven, he had all the glory that was due to his name as the Son of God. The world had been created through him. The angels were there praising and worshiping him. And he exchanged all of that to be born as a baby into a poor family some 2,000 years ago. In a time when there was no clean running water, there were no medicines, there was no TV, there was no internet, there was no social media. A completely different world to where we live today. He left all of this behind him so that he could come and be our Savior. This is pretty tough stuff that he had to do. And once again, it reminds us of God's love for lost sinners. And he's made this sacrifice for two reasons. First of all, so that he could experience what we experience. In another part of the Bible, it says that Jesus was known as a man of sorrows. He was familiar with suffering. He's also our great high priest who has been tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. If he'd have stayed in heaven, or if he'd have just come down in glory, he'd never have had those experiences. So he wouldn't be able to sympathize with us as we go through our different problems. He wouldn't be able to help us as we resist temptation. He wouldn't have the experience there to really support us when we need that love and care. So he had these experiences when he took the plunge and came down to earth. And because he paid that price of being a real person facing the real problems of this world, it means that he can provide us with real help in our time of need. He's only ever a prayer away, and he knows exactly what we are facing. His life also serves as an example to us. Jesus came and lived a real human life, but he never made any mistakes. He never did anything wrong. Can you imagine that? How many of us have made mistakes today? Yeah, oh, one or two people are being honest. Yeah, one or two. But you just imagine, you know, Jesus never did anything that was wrong in God's eyes at all. He lived an absolutely perfect life. And he's living that life so that he can be our example. He's showing us what it's like for someone to live as a human being in the right relationship with God. If Jesus had made just one mistake, then he would not be able to stand in our place. But we know his life was perfect because God accepted his life as a perfect sacrifice in our place. And we know this because Christ rose from the grave. In leading this perfect life, which must have been hard work because he was tempted in every way, he provides us with an example to follow. Jesus came not only to pay the price for our wrongdoing, he came to set us free from a life of slavery to sin. And once we are set free, we should seek to follow the example of the only person who's ever lived on earth without sin, Jesus Christ. If we love Jesus, we will follow his commands, and he wants us to live a life that is just like his. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we are being changed so that we will one day be just like Jesus. We should be seeking to be as close to Jesus' life as we possibly can, leading the best sort of life that we possibly can. Today, we live in a world where people will queue up all night, then fight with each other to get the best deal on a TV. While the true riches of a holy life, living the Christian life, are considered absolutely worthless. Sometimes even amongst Christians, very few people seem to be interested in living the sort of life that Jesus wants us to live. And yet go forward, even 5 years, what's that TV worth? Nothing. There's a new and better model available. But leading the life that God wants us to live, serving him and leading that holy life, is something that he will honor for all eternity. We just need to make sure our priorities are in the right place. The fourth reason that Jesus came down from heaven was so that we could see God's glory. The glory of the Son and the glory of the Father. Now, in order to see the true glory of our own Queen, You would need to go to the throne room of one of the palaces and see the queen enthroned in splendor. However, as we all know, this sort of thing doesn't happen very often, and you've got to be invited to go in. You don't just wander up, knock on the door, and have a brew with the queen, do you? No, you have to be invited in. And the same is true for God's glory. The only people who will be allowed to see God's glory are those who are worthy to enter his presence. And the only ones who are worthy are those who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those who have been forgiven by him and have been made holy, which means that they are able to enter God's presence. Now, this is only going to happen to each one of us when we see Jesus face to face. And once that happens, we'll be with him for the rest of eternity. For the Christian, we should look forward to that day. We should be like a teenager who's growing up and knows that they're going to receive an enormous inheritance when they get to the age of 21. We should be looking forward to that time that we see Jesus face to face. And right now, we should be trying to live for him. We should be eager to see God's glory, to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we've been called to live this way, to exchange chunks of coal, the worthless things of this world, for bars of gold, seeing the glory of Christ. And the sooner we do this, the better. For us, this may mean leaving some of the distractions of the world behind us, but it is worth it. As Christians, we get to see the glory of God in the life of Christ, which is the most precious of pearls. God the Father, Christ the Son, paid an incredible cost that first Christmas so that we could have this opportunity. As we celebrate Christ's birth again this year, let us stop and reflect and rejoice about the love that he has shown us so that we can know true forgiveness, so that we can have help for today and hope for tomorrow. Amen.